Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Scott and Matt sitting behind the mics once again to talk about another loss on the weekend. Bulldogs losing to the Canberra Raiders 36-24 in what we can call an improved result, I would say.
Yeah, it is an improved result, but it's the Raiders' biggest win for the year.
Is that right?
100% it's right. The second biggest win being 10 points. So the biggest win of the season. And it probably explains why they're 4 and against. It's like minus 100, well, almost minus 200 something, isn't it? Around that mark.
Yeah, despite the fact that they are in the top 8, currently sitting at 6, they're minus 108 on the ladder. Unbelievable. I knew that stat a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know it remained it. So the Raiders get their season biggest win on the weekend against the Bulldogs by total of two converted tries. There you go.
Who's that worse for, that stat? That we get to be the biggest loss of the year? Hopefully it can change maybe the next 2 weeks before they go to finals. Or is it worse for the Raiders that they can't? They seem to struggle to put teams away, and they just it's magical they can keep finding a way to win.
Yeah, yeah. Geez, they've had some tight ones this year, then, if that's the case. Tight wins, that is. They've had 13 wins and 9 losses. That's incredible to think that 12 points can be their biggest win of the season. That's who's it worse for? Well, I'd say it's worse for us, Scotty, because the Raiders fans are happy sitting in the top 8. And it looks like they will qualify for finals, so good luck to them. But as far as the Bulldogs go, Scotty, I thought we were very lucky, to be honest. I thought it was the performance itself wasn't too much of an improvement in my eyes, and I just thought the only reason we'd really remained in the contest for this for 60 or 65 minutes of this game was the fact that the Raiders were playing really poorly themselves.
Yeah, the Raiders they played poorly, but I think that's been their season though as well. I think, I don't know, again, I don't know if it's a credit to Ricky to get them to find a way to win, but I think to pretty much define their whole season, I feel like they're just a bottom eight side that just keeps winning. and I don't feel like they're a team who's going to make any dint in the finals. I think they're just making up the numbers, but they've had some lucky wins against some very low teams, and their cause have gone their way to get them over the line in some games. But I know sometimes it is a credit, you know, they sometimes say the good teams just find a way to win, even if they're playing poorly.
they've done it all season.
Well, yeah, they've done it all season. I've never seen a team do it because 12 points is the biggest win.
If they click, mate, if they click come finals time, you watch out, Penrith Panthers. You come the Raiders, eh? If they actually click, if that's the case. Well, look, you've got to give them some respect, though, right? 13 wins, 9 losses, sitting at 6. They're in the 8. And that's all that matters, I suppose, at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how much you win by or what your differential is if you've got enough wins to be in the 8. However, I agree with you. If you look at the top 8, you've got Newcastle and Souths in 7th and 8th. Even got the Cowboys in 9th, and you probably think those three teams would have a better chance of shaking up the competition than the Raiders do in 6th.
Oh, chuck the Roosters there too.
There you go, the 4th team too.
Yeah, chuck the Roosters in, because they seem to find Roosters of old, I think. Just if they have enough time to make their way back into the 8,
yeah,
will be their only issue. But yeah, been saying that, 2014, if we go back to the Bulldogs, it feels like the last time we'll there's and there's abouts, that we limped into the finals and everyone said, well, no chance, and then we made the grand final. The finals were a different ballgame. And I suppose if a coach, if you said the most likely coach to pull something that off, or a bottom, maybe Ricky Short is the man. Because finals, he just turned into passion, and he seemed to be more successful in passion. Everyone says passion can't last throughout the season, but when it comes to finals,
definitely can.
So, mate, we're not, let's not ride them out off, but yeah, just looks like they're making numbers. But yeah, but Vaughn, us again, prove result.
Just hold on 1 sec, Scotty. Just to finish off that thought, the Raiders do have 2 hard games to finish off the season. They've got Brisbane and Cronulla. So 2 losses there. Maybe they're out of the 8. Sorry. Let's get back to the Bulldogs there.
Yeah, I was going to say, improved result in the sense of not getting smashed in a game and being in it to the end. But some similar stories. Ill discipline. Can't hold off. Try.
Yeah.
And the story of the season, weak goal line defense, where it doesn't look like the teams have to do anything special to crack us. Like, you know, when you score a try against Penrith, you know, you've earned it.
Mm.
You've had to earn a try. It feels like you score a try against the Bulldogs. It's almost like a training run sometimes on the line. And it's very disappointing because Kieran Serrato, meant to be improving our defence, was the first thing that was meant to happen. That we were told that maybe our attack might not click, but our defence would be a lot more improved. But it's gone the opposite way. I feel like we're a little bit better at attacking than we ever have been for the last few years. But our defence...
Our attack is a lot more flowing, I think, this year than some other years. But defence is... As much as the attack has improved, the defence has probably gone the other way times four.
If I was actually at the start of the year, right, I thought World Champs will be playing. I thought, to be honest, right now, we'd still be in the hunt for the top eight. Like, I thought we'd be the team sitting 10 for 11th and then just, you know, needing the two wins and might need a result to go our way. So mathematically, still a chance. And with the final three rounds, I think if you're mathematically a chance in the final two rounds, you're a chance. Unless if you're talking about the 90 points winning. But I'm talking about if you just need to win two and you need one team to drop one.
Hmm.
You know, you're mathematically a chance of the final two, then yeah, you're a genuine chance. If you're mathematically a chance 8 weeks out, no chance of making finals. That's where I thought would roughly be, either bowing out now, this round, or just being that team who's just holding on to things, which we're not. We're one of the first teams to be. But I thought would be the team that when we won games would be lucky to score two tries and would be the team that just kept holding teams off. When we heard how good Kieran Serrato in his defence was?
If you go ask me at the start of the year what would we struggle with more, attack or defence, I would have probably said attack. Our defence really hasn't really been a lot of years where our defence has been really, really bad. I'm talking not including years where we've had major injury tolls. Outside of those years in the poor decade that we've had, defence normally isn't the issue, so it's quite odd that it's become such an issue this year. I guess that would be the biggest thing Serrato will be measured on come next year, isn't it? What the improvement of defence. I don't know if I expected us to be in the finals race at this point of the year, Scotty, but I definitely expected this to be at least sitting probably around that 11th, 12th, 13th area where the Eels, Seagulls and Gold Coast currently are, so just out of the finals race, but you know, we're in it for a long, long period of time.
Yeah,
that was my expectation coming into the season. I want to point out a few stats here that I found interesting. I don't normally look at team stats at the end of games this year. I don't know why, just it's the way it goes. And you go through the stats, and most of the stats are fairly 50-50 when you go through the stats of the game. Check it out, NRL.com. Go to the Raiders of Bulldogs game. Most of the stats are pretty 50-50, but two I'll point out, Scotty, and two maybe a little bit stats that we don't talk about too much. Receipts, which is how many times a player has secured the ball. Raiders had 422 to the Bulldogs, 360. So they've secured the ball 61 more times than us. In that game, which I think is like astonishing when you look at almost every other stat, it's pretty 50-50. That hurts you. And the other stat I wanted to pull out here was tackles made. Raiders made 292 tackles. We had to make 398 tackles.
So 106.
Extra 106 tackles. When you're making an extra 100 tackles in a game where everything else is more or less even, that extra 100 tackles is going to kill you. Penalties conceded to as well. Raiders only conceded two penalties to our six, which obviously hurts. But those are the three stats. They had the ball 61 more times than us. Not sets, but physically individual plays 61 more times than us. We had to make 106 more tackles than them, and we conceded three times as many penalties as they did. That is the difference.
Does that mean... moving the ball, so catch pass, is that two receipts?
Well, let's have a look at this. I actually did this before the podcast. Maybe I should have left it open. What is a receipt in rugby league? We'll get the actual definition off the NRL website. Because
it would be good for the listeners as well. Like, you might not.
It's not really a stat we talk about in rugby league, is it, at all? Really, wider rugby league. I have heard it in very limited knowledge of AFL that they talk about it quite a lot. So here, from the NRL website, official stats definitions, it's under passing, receipts, attacking player successfully catches or pick up the ball. So yeah, every pass.
So dummy half one, then pass to first receiver, is that's your second receipt in that one.
That's right. Play. So basically, if a player if three players touch the ball, that's three receipts.
Yeah. So that's what I was 100% right. I thought that was the case. So it kind of goes to show. So what was the possession? Can you hit me with the possession stat while you're there with the Bulldogs and Raiders on Sunday afternoon?
That one. So possession was 55% to the Raiders to 45%.
So we had 45%.
Yes.
Yeah. So So, I mean, not an alarming thing. So just slightly noticeable the Raiders had more ball, which I thought was the case, because I thought if you were going to say it was the other way, I was going to say that was not what the naked eye.
I think whenever you have one team has percentage of between 50 and 55, you could call that even.
Okay, you have because so I was going to say, so it's not, but I was going to say it wasn't like over the top.
Even enough, and,
even enough. So it goes to tell me the Raiders either have more attacking plays than letting the ball move in their movement. There was one where Kyle Flanagan did a massive try-saving tackle where there's a few little passes and Flano comes out of nowhere. It makes a try-saver. Too little too late in the context of the game, but it was a good tackle nonetheless for Kyle. He was just on the barely on the field, so nice moment. But yeah, it goes to show that maybe the Raiders are getting that ball moving a little bit more, moving our pack around a bit.
Well, if you put those two stats that I originally highlighted together, the 106 more tackles, and then they had 61 more receipts than us, you put those stats together, and it starts to point to a dominant team, doesn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, you've got to challenge your defense too. And I think the Raiders were putting more questions for the Bulldogs. Yeah. So
they're definitely asking more questions, which... Yeah. Made the ball move around more, which made us have to do more in defence. And we're the ones that tied out, you'd say, after 65 minutes or so. So
I think that
narrows the difference in the game.
We're also a team that doesn't need that many questions asked us to lose a game.
Well, yeah.
As a good side.
I did think we weren't as weak as we have been in regards to overcoming calls and stuff like that. I thought we held up a little bit better. There's been games where a team will start a set of six in our half, and it's just whether it's a penalty or a reset or our knock on, you just know the other team's going to score. I think we have got a bit better at that. We a little bit more resilience is the word I'm searching for there, Scotty.
Yeah.
In this game, defensively, but yeah.
The sad thing is, we went to half time level, didn't we? 12-0?
Yes.
Yes, memory. Yeah, and still didn't feel like we were going to win it.
No, I don't think at any point during the game it felt like we were generally a chance to win the game. I think if you're going to go off emotions, for me it just felt like Raiders were just doing enough to be in the game or level.
Yeah.
And then broke away at the end. That's how it felt to me.
Yeah. I felt like it was going to happen. That's what kind of tipped. I actually thought, to be honest, I thought, because the Raiders obviously off a smashing as well against Melbourne the week before, which is not a good sign. They're versing another finals team who's going to be there in September.
Yep.
And they got smashed in Melbourne. And there's a good chance that that could be a clash in the finals, depending on how Melbourne finishes, I guess, and how Raiders, if Raiders can get into still staying out, I guess. But
that Raiders would have to win week one, then depending on other results, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a chance of the game, and that would have been a good test to see where the Raiders were at, and they didn't, wasn't a pleasing result for them. So I was a bit worried that, you know, back at home, it was a, I don't know what the crowd was, but it looked good on TV. It came with sun out. What was it, sorry?
12,402 was the crowd.
Oh, it looks
a lot bigger, didn't it? Yeah, yeah, especially like during the Viking clap, makes it look like the crowd's almost double.
Yeah, but also when you, I suppose you look at population and stuff, I think that's
yep,
a very, very healthy crowd for Canberra. So
12,000 in Canberra is a lot bigger than 12,000 in Sydney. That's the thought process you're getting there.
So it looked good on TV. Look good on TV. I think there was a decent Bulldogs contingent there as well. But I was thinking, you know, back at home after a disappointing result, you know, teams lift, and I was thinking, oh God, we have to
be something to prove first.
And, yeah, and it feels like, why is it always us versus a team who needs to prove something against them? And we seem to be the ones. What it felt like, I think you said that last podcast actually in my head.
We're the ones that cop it.
Yeah, we're the ones that cop it. And I thought, oh, so I actually went into that game thinking we're going to lose like 40-0 again or something like that, something ridiculous to fix up their for and against a bit, get into that more, to help it be more healthier than where it's at. But they really didn't, and they just did enough to get the job done, really. I think the Raiders could put more damage on, but didn't, and that's been the story of their season as well. So,
yeah, you wouldn't be confident being a Raiders fan heading into the finals, I don't think. But
no, because that could have been their chance to give some confidence if they put us like 40, like did something similar to the Newcastle Knights, and so there you go, we've done the same thing.
Gail, it's hard for us to sit here and really go too hard on that though, isn't it? They're playing finals this year. Like,
yeah, well, I'd rather be there. I'd rather be a team who's making up numbers.
Yeah,
be there, than not be there. So it's not, if there is a Raiders fan listening, or I know an ex-Raiders player like Alan Tung. definitely not bashing the Raiders or anything, because we definitely would rather be them than us. Because I'd rather, just at this case, I can't believe to say this, but being a Bulldogs fan, I'd just rather be a team making numbers just to say we made finals again and get smashed out week one, just to say, hey, at least we're there.
Especially considering how long it's been for us. It's not like we missed the finals. Like, it's not like this is the first time we missed the finals in a couple of years, or the second time, or whatever. It's been a while now, so in this situation, definitely, we'd rather make the finals and get knocked out in week one than where we're currently at the moment. Your point about Bulldogs fans in the stands, I'm just going to change the conversation just a little bit here. Something I have noticed this year, and I don't know if it's just my weird brain making weird connections, but last year I felt like I noticed a lot of random North Sydney Bears fans at games, just at all games. Whether it was a game I attended, there'd always be a Bear jersey. Whether I'm watching it on TV and you watch a replay of a try, Bear jersey in the background. This year I feel like it's Bulldogs jerseys. I'm seeing Bulldogs jerseys everywhere.
Powerful club. I mean, better than Souths, I've heard.
I think we need to start the random Bulldog fan. What was the game before ours on Sunday last week?
The Knights and
I saw Bulldogs jerseys up there.
Strong Bulldogs contingent up in Newcastle.
The Bulldogs fans still wanting to get to games, but wanting to go to, and this hurts me to say, but wanting to go to quality games. I don't know.
I knew you would say that. But yeah, you might be right. I want to twist a conversation for you, which I wasn't actually planning, but it just hit me right now. So, and that's what a lot of our podcast is, most of it not planned and quality comes out.
Hit me.
Raymond Fatala Mariner. Go back to the game. Return of Raymond. He comes back a week later. He's meant to be back against Nui. Doesn't make the trip to Newcastle. And he's playing. We saw the photo of him and Josh Jackson on the socials having a handshake or a manshake, whatever you want to call it. Before the game, and the Bulldogs Twitter account making, or at least where I saw it on Twitter, making a big deal that our club captain is back on deck for today's game. For him to have a hamstring complaint moments before, Jane Lockerbaugh has to get caught up from the 18th man. Hayes Perham, who played on the weekend against the Raiders in New South Wales Cup, and we'll talk about that result later, because it's not very positive anyway, gets caught into 18th gets caught up to 18th man, and Harry. So a lot of shifting. Raymond Fratello ran off all the speculation that he's leaving.
Mm.
Is it suspicious that he got injured at that time, or is it just a very bad timing injury? Or
I think it's just unlucky.
You think it's unlucky? Because I don't know what to, like, with anything with Gus involved. Like, you know, he's going to kick out Luke Lewis from Penrith.
That's right. Well, we might have a bit more Gus content a bit later in the podcast, but perhaps just a little bit.
Just saying that you can't blame fans for putting their eyebrows up and saying, really, Raymond Salamero is actually injured, or was this a ploy, name him to make it look he's back and then happens to get injured on kickoff? As
well, I guess we'll see.
They're not named in the future. This week. Be interesting to see the departing list. Some of the players have already departed our club midway through.
That'll be happening this week, most likely.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see some names, but we could maybe talk about that before as we preview.
Let's close off on the review section, I guess, with the Player of the Year award. Scotty is a hard one to pick. Because, like we said, the quality of the game overall wasn't the greatest. But to me, not many players actually stood out within that either. It's not like it was a bad or it was a poor quality game, but this player clearly stood up. I think it was pretty even throughout, mostly speaking anyway. I will start to let's shake things up. I'm going to give 1 point to Liam Knight.
First try for the Bulldogs.
Congratulations, Liam, for your first try in Bulldogs colours. And why we're saying that, congratulations to Toby Sexton for the same thing. I did notice that they're also equal on career tries.
Are they?
I think they've both got 4 career tries now. Interesting.
That's
4 or 5. Anyway, Liam Knight, I think he's made a big difference since coming to the team. I think his size has been a standout in comparison to the rest of the players in our pack. I think every game he's played for us, he has tried really hard. I've always kind of liked Liam Knight. He's a bit of a weird character on Fox and that sort of thing. But I've always been partial to Liam Knight, but I feel like he's really tried his heart out since coming across the Bulldogs. At one stage, he was about to be interchanged on the field, and I think the Raiders score in the corner.
Yes.
And he starts slapping the interchange card against his head, showing his disappointment in what just happened. And to see that sort of passion on the sidelines, great to see. And he got his try, so, you know. His stats aren't amazingly great, but I'm going to give you 1 point for all that.
I want to say, like, Liam, now, and it's I'm going to say, because Max King's been injured, I think I'm still convinced Max King has been injured for half the year. Hence, he hasn't pointed since the injury, I don't think. Polled since the injury. But he's kind of taken that off Max King now. Like, bit of a leader, getting just doing the job, what's needed. Not going to be your most, not going to barge everyone over. Play some long minutes, so maybe you could, you know, give someone like Tevita Pengo Jr. as much chance to make any impact if he wants to, and Luke Thompson. So he can just play those minutes. Like, so he's definitely putting himself in a good spot for next year, Liam, which I'm sure there'll be some more signings to come to boost that forward pack.
We need that. Not just the forward. I don't think it's just the forward pack. So I think it's specifically the front rowers.
Yeah.
Specifically front rowers. That's what we need. We're good for second rowers. I think I'd go as far as saying we're good for locks. We just need some really big leaders in that front row.
Liam Knight just doing that job where he can play big minutes.
Yeah.
Get the job done. No frills. But some people might not notice him. The casual rugby league fan might notice him. But the people, you know, we would appreciate him. So other players, like, if Luke Thompson was to stay and have an off-season, not sure, but someone like that site who can make an impact and maybe get all the credit because of someone like Liam Knight being able to hold the fort down,
Okay.
Which is what Max King was doing last year.
All right, and let's move on to your number one point for the week, Scotty, because this person also got my number two.
Yeah, I want to give Harrison Edwards. I think he's going from strength to strength this year. Like, I think one of the shining lights for the Bulldogs, actually. Very underrated lock forward. Played the 80 minutes. Can you believe that for a young fella in the pack?
Yep.
12 runs for 89 metres. That might not sound too crash hot, but 52 tackles in that game.
But you've also, just to stop you there, Scotty, sorry, you also got to compare that to the rest of the pack, right? So,
yeah.
What did you say? What was his metres? Sorry?
89
metres. So the pack, only two players got over 100, Max King 108 and Corey Waddell 101. Viliami Kikau got 74, Liam Knight 94. So to play 80 minutes in the middle and get 89 runs when you're more experienced players doing those numbers, that makes it a very different 89 metres.
Yes, but also, as well, when I add, this is an interesting interesting thing that I started to notice in the last couple of weeks. At first, I don't know, it might have been just me, and feel free to be short on this opinion. I felt like Harrison Edwards, he had to start, right? I always said he had to be a starter if he plays, because he's not going to have the impact of the interchange bench. He's not going to think just a solid player. He's just going to run forward. He's going to run as hard as he can, but he's not going to be the one who'd be the main dinter of the line. And so, but I've noticed the last few weeks, I don't know if it's a bit of confidence in his game or him just naturally developing and just starting to believe that he's a top grader. Maybe he's starting to have that belief in the back of his mind. You know how some players say, what did Gordon Taylor say? Played.
Oh, I think Gordon said he played for Queensland before he felt like he was comfortable in the top grade.
Yeah, so they're going to test something outrageously, like, surprising in that
100 games or something like that, yeah.
And then some players say they have to play like 20 or 30 to believe, or it might just be the consistency of games anyway, but it doesn't matter. But I start to feel like either Harrison Edwards is backing himself a bit more, or being maybe told he can do a little bit more in the attack, because I'm starting to see a little bit of a passing game with Harry.
Yeah, the passing game is definitely developing. I think some people have got a bit overexcited because I started seeing tweets comparing him to Isaiah Yeo on the weekend. Potentially, hopefully for us, something like that. However, I think it might be just a tad too early to start making that comparison.
Okay. I didn't see that, so I was not going to put that comparison, but I was going to put a comparison to another player. He was a Bulldogs player. I was going to put him in comparison to David Stagg, who I thought was one of the most underrated ball-playing locks. And the tackling, 52 tackles for Harry on the weekend. Stagg did that week in, week out, especially for the early days of the Bulldogs, when he just made those tackles and had a bit of ball-playing. And we've seen Harry play a bit of hooker this year. Not uncommon for David to do that. Or David to play in the halves in some of the games, play 5-8 in a couple of games.
Yeah.
So I'm just starting to see the comparison to David Stagg, who was a premiership winning player for the Broncos as well. So I thought that might be a more fairer comparison. Not saying he's not at that heights, but I could see that Harry could be a David Stagg type player.
Let's keep that in mind as we watch Harry develop, and let's see if we still feel that way in another 10 games of NRL for him. That would be quite interesting to track. Just throwing it out there.
If that happens, if someone compares him in a couple of weeks and people go back to the podcast, because I want to be one who calls that first, because I've just been thinking about the last 3 weeks or so, was that I was just starting to see a bit of
Stagg. You heard it first. Harrison Edwards is more like David Stagg than Isaiah Yeo. He gets a bonus point as well, by the way. One for me, two for you, and a bonus point. And then you had your player of the match.
I think he's definitely the most popular player for whatever reason, but he's a real goer. I think the last couple of years he's been a real goer. I've given it to Corey Waddell. He was dropped a couple of weeks ago. Now he's back from the interchange bench to the starting lineup. He also was another player who played the 80 minutes in the back row. He cracked 101 metres. 39 post contact, there's a tackle break, one offload, 50 tackles as well. I actually think, you know, yes, there's the odd high tackle penalty, but you know, that sometimes happens when the ball bounces you bounce off the ball and stuff, and you're making 50 tackles. Guess what? One of them's bound. You know, you put yourself in more tackles. You're bound to give away more penalties, I guess, aren't you? More to go wrong.
Definitely.
Tackles. So, I actually think he's had a good year. He's consistently, if he's playing big minutes, he's consistently cracking 100 meters week in, week out. If he's playing back row or lock.
We've talked about Corey before. All the effort areas are there. He just seems to have a mistake in his game at the worst possible time. And that's where I think the frustration comes from. Perhaps fans that don't look into stats as much, or perhaps fans that don't watch as closely, they just see that error.
And that sticks out.
But also, when you're in the forwards, you sort of, I guess I feel like players can be judged as a pack. Like, the pack defended well, or the pack made lots of meters, or whatever. It's hard to stand out in a pack. Someone like Corey, where they get dominated most weeks, or lose the ruck most weeks, and he does well individually. But that sort of gets lost in the team, how the team's doing in that area.
Yep.
And then he's the one that has quite often, unfortunately, this year, made a mistake at a big moment in the game, and that's what sticks with some fans, unfortunately. I think that's what he's a bit of a victim of, but we like Corey Waddell on here. We love the effort area.
Yeah. That's another thing. I agree with what you say with the turnover as well. Like, when good teams turn over or make a mistake, they seem to make a mistake. I swear, if Penrith make a mistake, they seem to make a mistake in your own end and your own 10, and then they just drill you down there. And Corey seemed to have that handling error. But also, I think he's also on the tip sheet with referees when it comes to, like, play the ball stuff. And, like, which is, I suppose, not good and stuff, but yes, it feels like we might be defending a decent set that he's the one who gives the high tackle away. But I don't think he's ever given, I think it was last year or the year before, he's given that. I remember he played against Cronulla, it was one of the laziest high tackles. He just put his arm out and smacked someone across the face. But I haven't seen that penalty this year. I might be wrong, where I've seen him like cop a chin, and that's just, you know, timing the tackle slightly being off, or a player slipping.
I feel like there may have been one or two, but yeah.
It just feels like it was more noticeable the last couple of years, where he would slap someone across the face or something, where it feels like you're like, what are you trying to do? But I feel like this year, you know, might have been just a slight timing issue, and he's copped someone in the head, or someone slipped on Corey, and unfortunately there's nothing what you can do but hit someone in the head for it. Like, and you get that. That's just the way it is. Like, you know, that's the penalty now.
Or... Righty, let's look at the top 10. Two games left, Scotty. Top 10 of the Player of the Year award for this year now looks like this. Leading is Jacob Preston on 16 points.
Suspended for one more game. He'll be back in the finals.
Max King, Jake Averillo just behind him on 13 points. Jacob Carraz on 11. Matt Burton and Corey Waddell on 10. Josh Adakar, Harry Edwards, Reid Marley. Oops, sorry. Josh Adakar and Harry Edwards are on 9. Reid Marley and Brandon Burns on 6. So you get a cup, you get a bonus point there, and you shoot quite a bit. So it's still very, very close.
Harry Edwards keeps his season alive, but is Maxi King going to pull off the magical, like, just leading it and then just sat back for a little bit, then strikes at the end?
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's just funny how that's played out. Like, If you ever listen to our podcast for one thing, go back and just listen to that race and picture the race in your head with Max King doing a 100-meter race going to 80 meters in no time and then just stopping, really. Put the garden chair out.
Okay. Bit of news during the week that caught my eye before we get into the Listener's Cup. Tevita Pengai Jr. came out and said that he never loved rugby league and was forced to play it as a kid, and that's how he became an NRL player. That is very disappointing to hear from a player wearing our jersey. And that's all I'll say on that. Let's not deep into it much further than that. Now, obviously, like, I'm not silly enough to think that, you know, every player needs to have a huge passion and the greatest love for the Bulldogs over everything else in life. And I do know players play for money these days. I still think that's a minority of players, to be fair, because I feel like rugby league's a really hard game to play if it's just for money. You can play softer games with similar skill sets if you're doing that. But yeah, to hear that from a player that has been contracted to our club, very disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a mention. I'm going to say, yeah, like, good luck to Tevita in his future, like I think we mentioned last time. But the interesting things, like the process of signing players.
Yep.
And was Tevita, was he signed by Gus?
Yep.
Or was that that was a Gus signing? Yes, because Gus, yeah, just the process. Clubs have interview processes. Or, you know, the discussions leading forward and stuff. So I think that might be a red mark against Gus's name, to be honest, more than anything, than Tevita. Like, if Tevita's not playing it for love and playing it for money, he got a good deal at Canterbury. He's going to take it, right?
Absolutely. Now, but
I was just going to say, we've got to check and make sure, Farah, that the players want to be at our club.
Absolutely.
That's why I want to say that. Like, Tevita's just doing what he's. It's a job. If that's a job for him and he got the offer, I think most people would have, in any industry, would jump if they're in their industry at a higher offer.
Okay. So, also, you touched on Gus there. Gus put out a pretty cryptic tweet this week saying, could be a big week, .. It will certainly be a very busy week, .. Some decisions to be made, .. The time has come, .. Now, we've already talked about, you know, news coming from Gus's account instead of official Lions and what we think of that. So let's not worry about touching on that. But maybe we need to keep an eye out on the news over the next couple of weeks to see what those changes could be. I did have somebody make a point to me this week. Scotty, yep. This is not something that I would ever think of, but in relation to this tweet, they said to me, do you imagine being a football player, contracted to the Bulldogs, chasing your dream, and seeing that tweet from the head of the football department?
Yeah.
He could be talking about your future. He could be talking about ending somebody's dream. Like, we don't know what he's talking about, so it's really hard to comment, but I thought my brain would never have gone there, but when that question was put to me, I thought, yeah, if I was in that position, if my boss was tweeting that the team that I'm in at work is not doing well and enough is enough and changes need to be made, that would probably not put me in a very good mental health space.
Yeah, I don't think I was going to say I didn't think it was very professional, and I was going to actually make the joke that Gus works for a few different little places or has three different projects, like his podcast on Channel 9 or whatever it is, or whatever that is, and he does things with Matt Thompson. That might be the podcast, I'm not too sure. And
yeah, is he just speaking, getting more views on that type of thing?
Yeah, but also thinking, like, is he talking about maybe the roster for the commentary for Channel 9? Because he's going to put your availabilities in. That was going to be my joke about that. But,
that's a good one. Changes are needed.
Yeah, so like, can't work Fridays anymore or something. I don't know. What I was going to suggest, or what I was going to say, is that I look at that and I first think, I didn't think of the player. That's a good point, whoever brought that up, the player. But I'm thinking, first of all, let's not share. It's like almost like a family person putting something on Facebook, like an argument on Facebook or whatever, and not give you any context or anything like that. And you're like, it's like a very attention-seeking post. That's where. So I'm thinking, like, okay, why don't you have those discussions through the proper channels? And if he's made that tweet at a weird time, I think it was, have these initial conversations started with players or coaches, and because we don't know what the decisions could be. It could be completely nothing that we see as a supporter base. It could be a change of structure.
Something to do with the new Centre of Excellence building at Belmont. Yeah. Who knows what it is? It could be anything.
It could be, yeah, anything in the football administration stuff, like or coaching stuff. We might have a couple of... So you don't really see that as a thing. Or it could be, I don't know, it could be a range of different things. It could be that we signed a few players. It's just a very weird way of getting some excitement to build for it. That, it feels like he's trying to get attention. I don't think we're a club who should be screaming for attention at the moment. I think we should be just trying to finish off the year on a high. after disappointed. And then it just, yeah, it just, I don't know. We start to lose confidence day in and day out, Wayne.
All right, let's move on to the New South Wales Cup. And it was a very disappointing result in Canberra on Saturday. Bulldogs lost the game 40 points to 12, 18-8 at halftime. Scotty, congratulations to Ethan Quay Ward. He got a double. Darrell Skelton was our other try scorer, but that loss has put our season...
Yeah, we're currently eighth in the top five system, but a game against Blacktown, who are sitting in fifth, who need to lose, but some other results do need to go away as well. So season over, I guess, or on life support at the very least, needing a miracle.
I'm saying it's over. We need to beat Blacktown, as you said, to jump them. And then we need Penrith and Newtown to lose. It's amazing Penrith, Newtown, and us are all out of the top five at this stage. I want to come back by Blacktown. I don't think they were going for the wooden spoon at some point this year. So they've had a great second half of the season. But, yeah, going into the final round, I don't see those games going the way we want. And actually, it just reminded me to have a look at the draw. Penrith played Parramatta, who are ninth, so that we need an upset there. In Parramatta, just don't beat Penrith anyway. And Newcastle, who are 12th, are playing the Jets. So we need a couple of upsets to go our way.
Yeah, this is probably going to be a bigger than Stephen Bradbury moment if this gets pulled off. That's what that's how we compare it. You know, that's how much on life support our season is. It's 99% dead, ready to turn the switch off. The Bulldogs, but.
So disappointing to see it fall away like this. I've seen some anger amongst some Bulldogs fans on social media this week about it, and I think some portions of the fans were really holding out hope of, you know, finishing top of the table, winning the New South Wales Cup, and then being there on NRL Grand Final Day and having our club showcased on NRL Grand Final Day against Queensland's champion in, I think they call it the National State Championship.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are holding out hope for that, and that is gone, so I've been seeing some anger around that.
I'll tell you what, since Gus has made the big claim that the junior's going well, let's first and foremost, our New South Wales Cup side's been a powerhouse for years. So let's not, we shouldn't have bragged about them in the first place, because it's what we expect. Our New South Wales Cup team's always theirs about. Our NRL team could come first, and our New South Wales Cup team would be there too. Our NRL team come last, and our New South Wales Cup team is up there at the top. It's always been the way. But some decisions around our top 30, I think, you know, Josh Reynolds retiring was a massive shock, but it was, I think, something that hurt our young boys, a bit of an old head, to keep him on the, you know, keep him on the focus. And letting New Brown go to finish off the year at Newcastle, having no contracts, I don't know why he was, we don't know the real story behind that one, do we?
Seems a bit odd. 1 year to finish off the year at Newcastle.
Who's not making finals and cup either.
Yeah, you probably expect him not to actually get a shot at top grade this year unless there's some disastrous things happen in injury world for Newcastle.
Around the hooker and lock. So I would have thought the preference would have been to take Bulldogs if you had a choice to stay at the Bulldogs so you can, at the time, looked like play finals footy, and New South Wales Cup was the very least. So that was, I think, a couple of, you know, obviously Josh Reynolds, that's his on his own decision to make. But our New South Wales Cup team's been full strength for the last couple of weeks, or very close to it, especially for a New South Wales Cup. We know New South Wales Cup players come in and out quite regularly.
Yep.
But there's been no excuse the last few weeks. I mean, it seems they've been losing since Gus has spoken, or Kyle Flanagan's been taken out of there.
Gus was talking it up.
It's incredibly disappointing. It's actually more disappointing than the NRL side this year.
Yeah.
As in what the expectations level was. We said that I was kind of hoping that they would either be just lost the finals hope now or last round, or still being that mathematical, you know, need something, a miracle to happen, but still could happen scenario. But our New South Wales Cup team had the expectations to be, I think, a top three finish out of the top five. And for them not to even come fifth, I think even fifth would almost be a disappointing year But especially the way it's played out, where we're first for a long chunk of the season, or second in that long chunk of the season, it's inexcusable. It's very embarrassing.
Like I said, especially the way it's played out, unfortunately. And, well, Raiders, if we move along to Jersey Flag, Scotty, Raiders make it 3-from-3. They knocked off the Bulldogs in Jersey Flag, 32 points to 10. This game was played on Saturday as well at the Raiders Training Centre. Raiders Belconnen in Canberra. Only the two scores on the board for the Bulldogs. Halftime score was 12-6. Raiders running away with it in the second half. That's a disappointing result as well. We still sit in second. I think we're stuck in that position we worked out last time. Scotty, we're in second. We'll finish in second, and that puts the Raiders into the top eight.
Could you maybe say, obviously we didn't see the game because it's not televised.
Yeah.
Could you, potentially it looks to me, or when I saw that, I was looking, maybe there's one eye on finals for the Bulldogs. You know, they're stuck in second. There's nowhere going up.
Let's hope, you know, so. What I mean?
Like,
wanted to have good practice this week, though, against Manly in their last game before finals. So.
Yeah, it just feels like it's not overly uncommon for a team who's stuck in a position. They can't go up to drop a game where they should have won.
Absolutely. And if we cast our eyes over to the Queensland Cup, the Queensland Cup season has come to an end. Mackay Cutters defeating our Western Clydesdales 38 points to 28, unfortunately, Scotty. I was going to say disappointing season, but it was the return of the Clydesdales to the competition. Finishing in 13th place is not what you want. Obviously, you want to finish a bit higher than that, and losing the last game of the year to the team that just finished below you.
Makes that more disappointing,
It would have been nice to finish the season off with a win there. Points difference, our differential is minus 232, where Cutters is minus 274, so did quite well there. So hopefully, obviously, the Clydesdales can build from there out of Toowoomba, and the back of the Queensland Cup, which is a win in itself. So onwards and upwards from there, I say. Okay, so that we won't be touching on the Queensland Cup again, unless something quirky happens, I guess. But this week, Scotty, in the NRL, New South Wales Cup and Jersey Flag were up against Manly. Obviously, Blacktown and New South Wales Cup, we already touched on that. They're connected to the Seagulls, obviously. Let's look at the NRL. 2 p.m., Larks game at home, a cool stadium in Sydney. I think it's the first game at a cool since we weren't allowed to play there anymore. So hopefully a big crowd comes out to send off the boys.
Yeah, it's felt like an age since we've had a home game. I think I might, or we may have highlighted this at the start of the year, that if this could have been the thing that, you know, stuffed our finals campaign, was this big run of away games and the home game being in Queensland. Could be the thing what, you know, 2000 season, which I was kind of wishful that was, could have been our story, that, you know, well, there's a there's abouts and then this long stretch of playing away games for a span of weeks, but it's not true. It was pretty much gone when that was all happening anyway. They were still there, but we just didn't really threaten anything. It's, I don't know, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m., very friendly. Kickoff for families. Seagulls are out of the hunt now for finals. They need that win against the Warriors, which they fell short in. So both teams have got the eye on 2024. Players may be playing for contracts. For maybe potentially for other clubs, but also maybe, well, hopefully they're probably hoping their club, but also other clubs next year as well. So it's always a difficult time, especially those players whose contract has expired and they haven't negotiated or sealed in a deal for next year. So,
absolutely. And earlier in the episode, Scotty, you mentioned farewells.
Yes. Yeah, so, it looks like it's going to be another big turnover. I read somewhere, or not read, or saw somewhere where Buzz was actually mentioned last 3 years, the Bulldogs have used the most players who had the highest turnover by a fair margin. And I feel like it's going to be another year where players will be farewelled. We obviously have Josh Reynolds, who probably we're going to mention in the game, even though he had his farewell at Belmore. We already know New Brown is departed the club because he's playing at Newcastle. He played against us, so if that wasn't evidence enough.
That would be an interesting way to see how they showcase that one.
Yeah. They usually do a decent job with the Bulldogs at farewell, but also not always players that they might be 50-50, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about Gus putting that tweet out. but
late couple of names added to the list, you think, perhaps?
Yeah, potentially. Like, you've got the speculation of Luke Thompson. Like, we don't know. He was meant to sign elsewhere, like Tigers or Dragons, or potentially back in the English Super League. But then there was a report saying that he might stay at Belmore for less money because he's been looked after.
It will be interesting to see if there's any, I guess, any confirmations or any surprises farewell video that we are expecting.
Yeah, because there's usually one. Not always all the players get there because, like I said, they might have been negotiating with a couple of clubs in the current one and then they leave after. Or someone like Michael Leacher gets the farewell and then signs on after being farewelled from the club. To be farewelled the year later.
Well, let's hope.
That's happened before, hasn't it? Remember that?
Yes, that has happened before, unfortunately.
He got farewelled twice in 2 years.
That's right. Let's hope we get the win on the weekend, though. The corresponding game last year, which also happened to be our last home game of the season, Matty Thurden kicked the winning field goal. Let's hope we can get another one over the Sea Eagles to thank the members and the fans that have really showed up. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the crowds have been good this year despite the results. So hopefully we can thank the fans and the members with a good performance this weekend.
We'd just love to see, I know this work of course thing because was going to wrap up, but I'd like to see Matty Burton play a good game. I guess it feels like it's been a long year for Matt Burton. It felt like he had a slow start, that little bit of a lull. And then I felt like he was going somewhere and then got moved to halfback and shot a lot of confidence. I think that maybe some of the discussion points will be around maybe the captaincy. I didn't think he was actually going to be in it to be captain this year. And then bang, straight, like, you know, he'd be on the captains. I felt like just a lot of pressure has been put on his young shoulders. A performing team, and then they're not just to say, hey, you know, you're 5'8 captain, this, let's throw you at halfback because we're not winning as much as we like to be winning. So I really feel like Cameron Serrato has probably butchered a lot of ideas around Matt Burton this year. It's maybe stored him a bit, but the Burdo bomb, it looks like it's been put away now. Like,
I tried to get it going against the Raiders a couple of times, but you're right. We've spoken before on the podcast about how much is on the shoulders of Matty Burton. He's recently become a father, I think, for the first time as well. So congratulations on that. But yeah, making him the halfback. He's the goal kicker. He's the main man. Everything goes for him. Everything relies on him so much, and he's the captain. It is a lot. I won't go too far into that because we have spoken about that before as well.
Would love to have a Birdo special. Like there was a game against Gold Coast where he was just putting the Birdo specials up, like no tomorrow, causing Jaden Campbell's nightmares, and then us just scoring tries off him because Gold Coast didn't know how to defuse them. And then it feels like he's just unfortunately been put away, put on the shelf, and don't know why. He did try to get a couple against the Raiders. He didn't get them quite, but it just feels like a man who's not just got a lot of responsibility. I feel like maybe that might be a discussion that we might have thought of the off-season, maybe stripping him of the captaincy, but then that could also shoot someone's confidence down as well. So it's a very touchy subject now that we, you know, was a lot of pressure put on him this year.
Yeah. All righty, let's go through the team list and we'll pretty much leave it at that. Jake Averillo is the fullback again. Blake Wilson and Josh Adakara in the wings. Karaz and Burns are the centres. Halves, Burton, who's been labelled as the captain again this week, and Sexton. Up front, King, Marnie, and Liam Knight. Good to see Marnie get some rest lately as well. I feel like he's a 60-minute hooker, 65-minute hooker, not an 80-minute hooker. I feel like his performances will improve a lot by maybe rotating him just a little bit throughout games, and that seems to be happening right at the end of games now. So I'd love Flano to come on just before halftime or even at halftime and just play 10, 15 minutes and get Marty back out there after that.
Yeah, anyway, extend halftime break, yeah, for Marty.
That's right. And we got second row of Kikau, Waddell, and Harry Edwards. The bench is Kyle Flanagan, Luke Thompson, Curtis Morin, and Tamina Pengai Jr., but probably expect some changes. The reserves, Jaden Ockenbaugh again. He's named at the 18th player position there. Samuel Hughes, who we haven't seen in the NRL for a couple of weeks now. He starts the reserve bench there alongside Jarrell Skelton, Hayes Perham, and Joseph O'Neill, who, if you listen to the podcast fairly regularly, we saw him play his debut game in this last cup and told you to watch out for him. He's jersey 23 this week. So
fiery 5'8".
Yep, and he's played a bit of fullback as well. So maybe a sneaky debut coming. Who knows? But apart from that, I hope everybody gets out to a core stadium on Sunday. It's the last one we're going to get for a while, Scotty, until next year. It'll feel like a long time. The off season, I'm sure.
Almost guarantee we don't have a home game to kick off the year again. We haven't had one in a long time. And a core's being used for a crap ton of concerts in February and March.
Well, we can guarantee that we're not in Vegas.
Yes, so we're in Vegas, but I feel like we're going to be one of the away teams to kick off again.
Right. Yeah, so get out there, support the boys. I know it's been a hard year, it's been a hard decade. We stick strong us Bulldogs fans, and hopefully the team can get a win to thank the fans for sticking by them throughout the year. Until next week, go the Bulldogs.